always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Because I was in the, obviously the last home game before that was against Cleveland, right? They played the Cavs, and they beat the Cavs. And the, how the kids say it, the vibes are immaculate. Like, the vibes were incredible after that game. Yeah. You just beat a top Eastern Conference team that was healthy.
And beat minus, the breaks off of them.
Yeah, minus like Sam Merrill, whoever was on their bench. But, you know, I think Marcus Smart was out for us as well. Right. So, like, the vibes were incredible. You just beat a really good team. You dominated them for stretches. A team that's giving you issues physically, right? That's kind of built perfectly to kind of give the Lakers problems. Really good guard play, physical centers that, you know, athletic bigs that run the floor. And you kind of put the, you know, like, you put the brakes on them. And it's just the last kind of view of this team being that, like, being a drubbing to the best team in the league is going to annoy me for a very, very long time. But
My one counterpoint, Raj, to like your positivity or your optimism about that Oklahoma City Thunder game was that, like, one of the other times the Lakers saw that team, they also were down 30 points after the first quarter.
So sure, it's like, they definitely were. Well, after halftime, they're down 30 at halftime. Now the first quarter. First quarter, they were down 23. It was a little different.
That's fair.
No.
Sorry. My bad. Huge difference. 23 and 31 after one.
Like, again, I'm not saying we would beat OKC, but that, like, that was their best of, hey, we are championship contenders. We hear their noise, and we're going to punch you in the mouth.
But isn't that what you get in the playoffs?
100%. But I'm saying, like, I think the Lakers, if they put their B-plus B game against OKC's A game, I would have a little bit better feeling of, all right, this was more representative. We put our F game out there. Like, no one shot well. Luka had an awful game. Austin turned the ball over 3 out of his first 4 times he touched the basketball. They went up 25 to 9, I think. And that game was over after 4 minutes. And so I was excited by this matchup on Tuesday. I was like, I couldn't wait for that game. All right. Yeah. We get them back again on Tuesday. You get to watch film on them. You get a chance to kind of do right by, you know, your actions and stuff like that. And instead, this Tuesday game, they might lose by 60. Like, OKC needs this game.
Can we just record during the game? Can we just pretend it's just like a...
I'll be in the building. So this is a home game.
You want to record while you're in the building?
right. On Media Row, just turn it on, go live. Piss everyone
They're gonna
off
be
around
like,
me.
Stop talking so loudly. Everybody can hear you. No, because nobody's making a beat from the
Oh man. It's too loud in there. At least it should be. Come show out, LA. Come on Tuesday.
Jovan's gonna lean over. Hey man, what's up? He's gonna start going, anybody else wanna come on? Dan? Yeah? Mark?
Oh man.
All right. So I had promised you guys.
Oh, wait. One last thing, Andy. Another, like, just another right to the heart. And this is like, I'm happy for them. You know, one of those things, like, I'm happy for you, but that should happen to me. I don't know if you've seen that meme where it's like, yeah, I'm happy for you, but I wish that kind of happened to me. During this game, they're promoting Steph Curry returning to the Warriors. And I'm like,
yeah, he's playing right now. I'm watching.
I know. Right, it's like, oh, like, I'm happy for them. Like, Steph Curry, the league is better when Steph is healthy, 100%. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad he's back. But every other – what other West team is without their superstar? This is, like, plural. It's annoying.
Well, it's also tough, Raj, because, like, the Lakers all season were, like, hyper-focused on getting and keeping these guys healthy for that stretch and for this run going into the playoffs.
Austin missed months. He missed a month. Like, Luka missed time.
How many games? Like, they barely played during preseason. They barely practiced during preseason. How many games did guys sit out with soreness? Not like a specific injury that was listed. It would be like, you know, back soreness, knee soreness, this, that. And it didn't matter, right? They didn't get those reps over the course of the season. They finally did get those reps in March and looked like a team that had that collection of talent at the top of the roster that got those reps, that built that chemistry. It was like, you know, no disrespect to Tony Jones or whatever, but he's trying to make the case based on LeBron's performance against a tanking Dallas Mavericks team that, like, this 30-point triple-double that LeBron had somehow proves that maybe he should have been playing with more usage over the course of this last month or so, and that you know, Luka's crazy usage and Austin's crazy usage is why they are now hurt. And it's like, the Lakers tried the balanced approach thing. They tried the your turn, my turn thing. They tried LeBron with a higher usage rate with less focus on the defense. And all it meant was that they sucked. They were not anywhere near as good of a team as they've been or they had been over the course of March. And again, like, no disrespect to Tony. I kind of sort of understand the point that he's trying to make. It's the kind of point that you make if you don't cover this team or watch this team specifically on a night-by-night basis, and you only see this performance at the end of, you know, tonight. But I think it's also worth noting, yeah, LeBron goes off the way that he does tonight, and they lose to the Mavericks, a bad basketball team. They lose, you know. And I'm not saying that, like, this version of LeBron is, you know, the looter in a riot or whatever. But I do think that, you know, somebody has to get those stats. All of the Lakers' possessions were going through LeBron. And at this stage of his career, at 41 years old, like, yeah, he's still gonna get numbers. He's still gonna go off, but it's also gonna be very inefficient. Like, it's, you know, and by the way, I'm saying this, like, I'm trying to balance out, like, the result of the game with the incredible performance that we saw from LeBron. He was really bleeping good for most of the game, you know, and I think it's insane. And I also think it's a testament to how much he believes in the Lakers that he's even trying to carry them to in the ways that he did tonight to try to keep the wheels on the rails while they hope to get Luka back, while they hope to get Austin back. I loved what we saw from LeBron, and I love that LeBron is you know, basically declaring on behalf of the Lakers organization, yeah, we're probably going to go down, but I'm going to go down swinging. We collectively are going to go down swinging. I loved seeing that. I just don't think it's the kind of game that you make any sweeping statements about the way that the Lakers succeeded, by the way, in March about.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron was incredible. He was awesome. Shot the ball, you know, well inside the paint. I think he only went 1 from 6 from three, but LeBron was amazing this whole game. I thought his intensity, you could tell he was trying to get
both sides too.
Yeah. These type of games, you see, I forgot who said it online. They said it's some version of this, but I noticed this while watching. You can see LeBron when he plays, you know, with, you know, teammates that are a little lesser than him. Like, he's seen the game so much faster than them. Like, he sees their cut 2-3 seconds before they even notice there's a cut available. And my favorite, you know, thing tonight, they kind of clipped it. The you know, Bronny threw him a little pass over the top, and he, like, told him, hey, it needs to be a bounce pass. And not just about him telling him that, but you could tell he's told him that a million times, you know, and you could just, the way he said it was like, we've gone over this so many times, you know, this is a bounce pass. I love that kind of realness from him. But no, I mean, Austin played 51 games this year. You know what I mean? Like, you could talk about the usage, the minutes. Luka Doncic played 64. I mean, 65 is the threshold that stars are going to have to play to get to any of these awards. The minutes, the usage, all that is part of this. But, like, yeah, I don't know how you could have, you know, got more young guys in different places, try out some of the younger guys on the roster. But to your point, they went for it in March. They started playing back-to-backs only in March, right? That is when we were like, oh, wow. They're playing in Miami. Yeah. Second, I have a back-to-back. Like, that's rare. That's new. LeBron's playing. They're going for this thing. I thought it was commendable that they were doing that. It wasn't at the time, no one was like, oh, you know, you got to, maybe they'll get hurt.
No, like, I was like, oh, shit, they really mean it.
Right. Like, and everyone was
all right. Like, it was kind of like, buckle up. Let's fucking go. You know,
exactly. Yeah. And they won those games, right? They beat Miami in Miami. They won some of the other back to backs. I think the Detroit one was the one they lost. I don't remember if that was the second half back to back. But yeah, I don't think LeBron can do this for a season, nor should he have to at this age. I think he was appropriately slotted where he can do this, you know, on occasion when he needs to, when he needs to kind of turn it up. You could tell, and it's kind of sad again. He turned it up tonight, and just to see that that's still in there, like that engine is ready to rev, and he was, in my opinion, prepared for a long playoff run. Like he is, I think he's the most genius ever at being able to understand, all right, my body needs to be at 88% here, tomorrow 89, so in 6 days it can be at 94. Like that level of planning ahead, I think he's the best ever at it, and you could see him now learning like, oh, I need to go from 88 to 98. Today. And so that hurts because you could tell he was ready for it. And yeah, I thought he gave everything he could for a roster that just was not prepared, not ready. You could tell JJ was searching, you know, the Jackson Hayes, Vando minutes, like just trying to find anything to stop Cooper Flagg from two hand throwing the ball in the basket on every drive. But yeah, LeBron was incredible. He can't do this nightly. That's not possible. He needs 18 points here, 15 points here. You know, these games where he can kind of coast offensively to get to this finish line. And the Lakers did that, but the two guys ahead of him just, couldn't reach it there with him.
I will say that tonight's game, March, frankly, most of the season, definitely the second half of the season, it was a conversation in the offside chat about like whether the Lakers want LeBron back, whether LeBron wants to be back and all that stuff. And like, I can only speak for myself, and I want this version of LeBron back. Like, I still think he's going to be really good at basketball next year. I think he and Luka and Austin understand the way that they individually and collectively need to play together. And I think all three of them also, like, especially if we'll see what number LeBron is looking for this upcoming offseason or whatever. But I think all three of them probably leave this season thinking like we had just sent a message to the league. We were on our way to kind of proving that like this experiment can work, and to have it end the way that it did. Like I find myself wondering if LeBron, the competitor, is sitting here saying, and if Luka and Austin and LeBron, the teammates and friends, are sitting here saying like, what the hell, you know, and we'll see how those conversations go this summer.
Yeah. I have no idea. Again, I think all this gets the domino of those two guys getting hurt affects everything in the organization, every single person, every player. So we'll see what LeBron decides. I'm interested to see. I mean, the Lakers as an organization, well,
we got to take a break first before we talk about like what this means here for the Lakers. So
sure.
You know, Luke Kennard was like two rebounds from Jaren Jackson Jr.'s career high.
Triple double Kennard.
Yeah, that's by way of our friend Jeannie, you know, producer of the LFR pod there in the offside chat. And like that was a hilarious result there. I thought Rui offensively looked good. I do kind of think that they're gonna have to get him and keep him a little bit more involved. I didn't love him getting out muscled for a couple of rebounds in that game. That kind of annoyed me. As we said, LeBron was incredible. Cooper Flagg actually got to his points total there, I think, by like a minute into the second quarter. So didn't exactly have to sweat that one out. As soon as I saw that the Lakers were like allowing the switch and
yeah,
Luke was guarding Cooper Flagg to the extent that he was, I was like, well, I can check that box. and that's how the game played out. All right, let's go ahead. And do you have any thoughts on the game?
Well, I just want to say Cooper Flagg is incredible. Cooper Flagg, what a talent that guy is. I liked him since summer league last year. Not a draft person, so I do not follow it at all until their name is called really on that day. But Cooper Flagg is incredible to watch, and he's going to be an absolute superstar. He was hitting like one hand floaters against NBA level. He doesn't even have his NBA body yet. Yet, like, no one can stop him in transition. Yeah. Jackson Hayes, DeAndre, and all pulling, and that's when someone's like way more athletic. They're just, their jersey is getting tugged in all these different directions, and it doesn't matter. He's just finishing.
Point. Yeah,
doesn't matter. He's finishing, getting and ones around everybody. People making business decisions on his dunks. No, Cooper Flagg was amazing. I believe rookie to have back to back 40-point games since Allen Iverson, which is kind of shocking when you think about the number one picks that have come to the league the last few years. That
including LeBron.
Including LeBron. Yeah, he's the first one to do it. But Cooper's impressed me. He's incredible. And I think he's the rookie of the year so far.
Also a teenager.
Yes, also a teenager.
Absolutely bonkers.
He's absurd.
I know that there's like been this push among the nerdiest of nerds online that like Con Knipple should win. And
he's the favorite right now. Actually,
God, I wish people would understand how basketball works. Like, it drives me nuts. How do you not understand how roles work? Like, how do you not understand how much more difficult Cooper Flagg's production is than Con Knipple's?
That's an interesting point of like that award is kind of representative of where a lot of basketball conversation is. Because I was surprised too. Like, they said it on the broadcast. Like, cause I thought they were just going to mention Con Knipple as, hey, yeah, this is another rookie playing well. The Mike Tirico goes, he's the favorite for rookie of the year right now. He's the favorite. Cooper Flagg had 51 last night, carrying it down. Simmons
podcast and stuff.
But Con's been awesome. I mean, he's one of the best shooters to walk in the league. He's helped that Charlotte team become a legit franchise. Still don't really understand what's going on there. Haven't caught as many games as I want to of the Hornets, but they're rolling, beat Minnesota tonight, which actually locks the Lakers into a top five seed, interesting enough, so they cannot fall to six.
And actually, if they're five, so Denver could leapfrog them.
Yeah.
Houston could leapfrog them, and they could play Houston in the 4-5.
They could just play Houston 4-5. Anyway,
or they could be the 4 and the 5, whatever
it would be. Home court.
I'd be fine with that. Like, keep Minnesota at the 6 spot.
Right.
Give me Houston in the 4-5 matchup. Denver jumps up and they have to deal with San Antonio in the second round or OKC in the second round.
Yeah, the end of season
shenanigans. I just want Houston. I just think they're so fraudulent and they clearly hate. They're playing against the Golden State Warriors right now. It's 58-53 with 11:46 to go in the third quarter. You know how many people the Warriors don't have on their roster right now, like available?
Yeah, a lot. Jimmy Butler,
the other fraudulent guys. Fraudy frauds.
Yeah, Porzingis, I think, is still. Porzingis played tonight, actually. The shenanigans to end the season is going to be crazy. The amount of teams that will be positioning to try to play us, that which is such a nasty way to put it, but that's going to be the reality, because the way all the other teams are set up, every team is going to want to play the Lakers without Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves and the players that they have available. One of the things like I try to stress, and I think this has gone underrated or kind of under the table here, Marcus Smart's injury weeks ago feels like that was the beginning domino to all this. JJ Redick has said,
I saw Iztok making that point today on Twitter, and I was like, that's a great point.
Yeah, like JJ has mentioned that the reason he starts Smart is not just, for the offense, for the playmaking, but like so that Austin and Luka, to an extent, don't have to guard the other team's best on-ball scorer. And without Smart, they put LaRavia on him. The Lakers do a lot of switching, especially without Smart's ability to chase over. It put, I think, a lot more defensive pressure and just the minutes load, right? The minutes go up without Smart as one of the guards you can use. It goes really quickly to Bronny, which is, kind of surprising how quickly when Smart's out and Austin's out, it goes to Bronny James as the next guard up. Dalton, by the way, did not play tonight, which is just, I find that incredible. That is, he had a good game in the second game in South Bay, by the way, helped lead them to the Western Conference Finals. Adu didn't play either, which I don't understand at all. Why was he flown to Dallas and didn't get a trip? Gonna get a chance, but anyway,
I think this is a legit blind spot for JJ that he really needs to rethink this offseason. Is longer rotations, he needs to trust younger players. And yeah, like I wish just once his adjustment would be towards athleticism, and it's always towards offense. And I you know, today was a clear example. Poor Jake LaRavia, he fouls out in the game. He could not do a thing against Cooper Flagg. And meanwhile, you have Jared Vanderbilt sitting over there, you know, and Vando, like I thought got in there, played though. He's actually been a better shooter than Jake LaRavia this season. I think he should probably start over Jake while Austin and Luka are out, you know. I think he's a better basketball player. I think he is better at what he is good at than Jake is. And I think Jake makes a whole bunch of sense. He's a steadier basketball player than Vando. And when you have Luka and when you have Austin, you want your role players to be steadier. But right now, the talent is such that, like, you kind of need that wild card. And if you can, if that wild card can be like the best version of himself in some of these games, and you can win a game or two here down the stretch that you would not otherwise win, I just think Vando needs to be a 20 to 25 minute a night player.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he can get to that without having played that all year. Jake, at least you can up his minutes to 30, 35, and he can survive them and, you know, have enough kind of contributions through it. Does Vando have the flattest 3-point jump shot you've ever seen? I mean, that thing has zero margin. Well,
it's funny because Vando's is crazy zero. Flat, and Jake is crazy high.
Right.
And it's just like, you guys just
combine your 3-point.
Like, just like there's this thing that happens in golf where, like, if when you golf, right, it's usually four people who are golfing, and it's okay. Two people to a golf cart. And okay. You know, usually the people, when they get into the golf carts together, they kind of joke and whatever about the shots that they just hit. And on the on the tee box, what will happen sometimes is one person will dog hook their drive to the left off into the trees over there, and then the other person will slice the shit out of their ball and it'll go way off to the right, and you'll get back into your cart and it's like, well, if we just evened it out. That is right. A phenomenal drive. And I feel like I watched Jared Vanderbilt and I watched Jake LaRavia shoot. And it's like, you guys are on opposite sides of the fairway here. If you guys just evened it out, you might be all right. You might be okay. Yeah.
It's funny because they both shoot way better under pressure. Like, when both are wide open, the shots go crazy. But when Vando, like, has to shoot a corner three where the shot clock's going down, somehow It's a swish. Jake tonight hit like this step back three that was cash, that was clutch.
Well above,
like,
the break.
Yeah, it was just like super clean. But yeah, it's funny watching Vando's because it's just like this straight line that it has zero margin at all. If anyone breathes on the basketball, it is done. Like, that thing is not going in, but it just line drives in the hoop.
Somebody waves at it, and it's just like, well, that's a brick now.
It's the craziest jumper to watch.
I do. Claw World does ask, like, are you guys mad Adu isn't playing at all? You know what my thing is? Like, my one, not excuse, but explanation why Adu isn't playing
health
is because every time he plays for the next, like, 2 weeks, he's dealing with knee soreness. And I think The Lakers are genuinely concerned about his knee and would rather go into the offseason healthy than...
That's fair.
Get some minutes as a rookie that, you know, that may or may not pan out all that well. Just get to the offseason healthy so that you aren't focused on rehab and instead you can focus on improving your game. I think the Lakers are, like, legitimately concerned about his knee, because that was a problem coming into the season too.
Yeah, I don't think that's incorrect. And that is, I think, even the right approach if they have any concern. It's just he was flown to Dallas. Like, so that was the part where, like, he was with South Bay. They brought him in this game along with Nick Smith Jr. and Kobe Bufkin, which, in my opinion, someone in the chat mentioned South Bay lost tonight, so their season ends, sadly, in the Western Conference Finals. Haven't confirmed that, but I'm going off the chat. And so I thought at least one of them probably could have stayed back, one of Kobe Bufkin or Nick Smith Jr.
Gone for the win there.
Yeah, didn't need both of them here. Felt like having both kind of hurt both of them, you know what I mean? Like, neither was able to get in any offensive rhythm. Both were kind of used as off-ball players, which again is not what I think their role is in the NBA. But yeah, Adu was on the trip, so I